Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that dog was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. We either play or play around. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back. We've got a lot to cover today. I'm very excited about this episode. We're going to try out a game that I think might be good for the next trivia that I've come up with and sort of stolen from some other people and modified it, which is where all the best ideas come from. But we have a lot before then that I want to get into. First of all, Quack Question of the Year, really heating up. We are, I think I'm down to the final 25, so I've cut like 8, but a lot of work to do still. Quack Question of the Year, obviously our last episode of the year. We'll give you a handful of nominees. You vote, pick the best one. The winner gets to come on, if they want to. The winner last year, 28_8KBS tweets. He was very humble, did not want to come on the pod, but the winner gets to come on and have an episode with us, answer the next podcast or next Quack Question. So very prestigious here. We're going into, I think, our 6th year or 5th year of the Quack Question of the Year. So almost coming up on we're turning the corner for a Quack Question of the Decade, which will be very exciting when we get there. But a lot of good questions this year. We've had more Quack Questions, I think, than any other year, just because we did so many episodes. So a lot to look forward to in that episode. But right now, we want to go back to something we talked about a few weeks ago. And that was Gordon Bombay is obviously not coming back. We discussed, you know, what we knew, threw out some ideas, and asked for your ideas. And we got a lot of ideas, some good, some bad, some utterly ridiculous, but
those are only Kevin's.
I will say, Kevin, people liked the Taylor Kitsch / Eric Chandler idea, one of those two with coming in there. A few people mentioned as a joke the coach from Letterkenny, just this guy who goes psycho and swears all the time. And then a very interesting one that multiple people mentioned in different ways was Sean William Scott.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that a lot.
Yes. One person mentioned it as like Doug Blatt from Goon, but other people said just Sean William Scott straight up. Which
as himself.
Yeah.
Stifler. Stifler. Coach Stifler.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up his IMDb. I'll be prepared for that conversation.
Okay. So just going to run down a few others here. The aforementioned 28_8KBPS tweets said Rush's brother or a Coach T redemption or Christopher McDonald, a.k.a. Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore. We had this one was interesting, too. So Coach of the Hawks was played by Lane Smith. Lane Smith passed away. Lane Smith has a son, Lane Smith Jr., who is an actor. Very
what has he been in?
Very interesting. I don't have his IMDb pulled up, but he's around. He's doing things, which is exciting. M_parent, Omar Epps or Donald Faison, totally the offside.
I mean, I personally love the Donald Faison idea. I want that to happen so badly.
I'll go through the rest and then we can discuss here. So totally offside said Jason Siegel. We got another Coach T redemption from just Evan Al. He said that he wants Timbles to return and sort of orchestrate this coaching, which I thought was interesting. And then we had the overachievers. We had Stevie Yanks and Matt Hoover. Matt did the whole thing. We talked about 10 different Bombays for 10 episodes. So he threw out 10 names here. Brian Cranston, Jason Alexander, Mario Lopez, James Vanderbeek, Billy Bob Thornton, Ryder Strong, who was Sean Hunter from Boy Meets World, Fred Savage, David Schwimmer, Chris Klein, and Jaleel White. So a lot to think about there. And then I'll run through the last list that we can discuss. Stevie Yanks, he had a couple out there ones, like Paul Bissonnette, who's a former NHL player, who's now a podcaster and personality. He had Sean William Scott. He had Penn Badgley from You. I don't know if anybody's seen You on Netflix, but it's about like a serial killer, a stalker. I don't think Disney would go for that, Stevie Yanks. And then his two that were, well, he had Sean William Scott as well. His two that were interesting, though, was you bring in Scooter as the new coach, and then you also get, you know, a Gunnar Stahl possibility. And then this one I thought was very interesting, which was Scott Patterson, who played Luke from Gilmore Girls, and basically just go all in on the Gilmore Girls connection. So
I had that thought whenever we were talking about it. I don't think I mentioned it, but I just couldn't get myself there. I couldn't do it.
So, I mean, out of those or any others, you know, you heard since we did our last discussion on this, any of those stick out for you, Tommy?
I like the Ryder Strong, just because I could see like a very good Boy Meets World crossover. And actually, I think what they should do is just really lean into the 10 different Bombays and just have them all over the top. But in one episode, it's, you know, Ryder Strong and Ben Savage both playing Bombay, like in different scenes. And then in a couple, like the shots are just different. It's the same scene, but they're just switching out interchangeably. And just like really playing like a mind fuck. And I think they'd get a lot of accolades for it. And then of course you have Danielle, what's her last name? Topanga Lawrence. Last name starts with an F. I'm gonna look it up. Have her in there as some kind of like love entrance or whatever.
Yeah.
Danielle Fishel.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. It would be very interesting if they just went in all in on like 90s nostalgia and broke out of just the Mighty Ducks nostalgia. It would be interesting. But yeah, Kevin, same to you. Anything stick out from Quackalites?
As I already mentioned, I am president of the fan club to bring Donald Faison to the Mighty Ducks universe. I just think that would be fantastic. I think he'd be really great. Let's see. I will say, I don't think there were many, like in that list you just ran down, I don't think there were a ton of names in the sweet spot. Like they either are too small or too big, like Billy Bob Thornton, that's never going to happen. But I think we're still lacking in like I think like Taylor Kish is like the perfect kind of sweet spot for that. Or like John Stamos or whatever in that mm-hmm. range. But I feel like we still don't have enough in that realm. Cause like Luke from Gilmore Girls is too small. Like anybody like that, a lot of like Ryder Strong is too small. You know, like I don't think any of these bring
in Sean William Scott is kind of hits Scott. That sweet spot.
Yeah. I think that would be really good. I don't know how realistic that is, but I do really like that one. But I feel like we still don't have enough options in that band of celebrity.
You can also get Jason Biggs and just make this like R-rated American Pie Game Changers.
There we go.
And then like, yeah, we don't have to talk about that, but you could really lean into that if we wanted to get that late 90s, early 2000s teen crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of ways they could go. I did miss one. At Nicole Reed 9 said, just give it to Coco Chad. Which would be interesting to bring Coco Chad back. But I personally, Sean William Scott's a good one. I do think Scott Patterson would be very interesting. Like you just try to get all those women who watched Gilmore Girls when they're younger, come back and have some sort of Gilmore Girls connection but it's a whole new show. They try to fall in love with these kids and Maya. I think that would be an interesting sort of play to see if it would work. And you try to keep that fan base going and get the boost from them to kind of keep your numbers up. So that was the most interesting idea I heard. In terms of realistic, yeah, it's tough. I do like Lane Smith Jr. just as a little nod, but I don't know if he does enough for it.
Yeah, he recently played in Westworld. I'll just tell you the name of his character because it was uncredited, but he played Nude Host. And so I haven't seen the second or third seasons of Westworld, but maybe I will check out this Nude Host and check out his nude acting chops.
Yeah, he must have been one of the cyborg people. Interesting.
Yeah, he's also done stunts apparently, so maybe he's a stunt guy. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we could work him in, even though if he's not Bombay, we could work him in. So what's our takeaway here? Whether it's our idea, Kevin, are you sticking with Taylor Kitsch or Eric Chandler, or where are you going just to sort of leave this off?
I want Donald Faison. I think that's true. Top of my list now. But I like Taylor Kitsch. I think Kyle Chandler probably works. He might be too big now. I don't know.
I think he wouldn't want to play a coach again.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to stick with Donald Faison 1, Taylor Kitsch 2. Taylor Kitsch and Sean William Scott 2A and 2B. I think. Okay. I think for me, although Sean William Scott might be too big also, I guess he hasn't done a ton of stuff lately, but he's probably still a pretty big name.
Yeah, but I mean, so was or so is Lauren Graham.
Yeah, and Emilio Estevez, like.
Yeah, but Lauren Graham hadn't really done anything since Gilmore Girls either, though. Like,
she was writing books and stuff. Yeah, she was doing. She wasn't really going hard on the acting.
It seems like a lot of people are on the Taylor Kitsch chain. Like, so Kevin, what kind of character does he play? Because like he kind of seems like he could be Coach T's like older brother or something like that.
Yeah, I think he kind of comes in as more of like an authoritarian kind of coach. Maybe less than like Coach T is, like not as like douchey, but you know, maybe more stern.
Like Orion.
I just think he makes sense like from a casting perspective, just because like ladies love Taylor Kitsch. He's Canadian. He probably plays hockey. I feel like it fits in a lot of realms. Just to kind of slot it, and he's younger. I think it, you know, brings a little bit more youth to the show. I don't know. I just think it fits pretty well. But and I do think maybe that would be, if Coach T is coming back, I think that could be a fun dynamic also.
Do we think Donald Faison is gettable in a realistic sense? Like if they were like, we absolutely would like Donald Faison to be the coach, do you think he is gettable and would do it?
I think so. I mean, he's doing shows right now. I mean, I think the latest thing that he's done is he was cast as like the scientist or the doctor in the new Powerpuff Girls reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm pretty sure he's doing like some animated series that he's producing, like a stop motion animation thing. But so I don't think he's like outside of the realm of possibility. I definitely think he's gettable from that perspective.
All right, let's go. Tommy, you know, previous episode, we talked about Peter Krause, Macaulay Culkin. Those guys, out of those guys, or the fan suggestions, where are you sitting right now on your choice? Or, you know, are we just like, we bring in nobody and we just bring in a newbie and develop that character?
Gosh, you know, I think the question is how does it like play? And we all knew what we were getting with Bombay, I guess, although the whole him like no longer loving hockey and having to rediscover his love was like just a great storyline. And so, you know, we're thinking about all these guys that we love, but we're kind of thinking about some of the characters they played. And so like Donald Faison, is he going to be like the goofy coach, or is he just going to be like a hard ass, you know, piece of shit or something instead? And like, that wouldn't really be him. Right. And, you know, Taylor Kitsch, I think we see as being, you know, stern, kind of like, oh, I've got, you know, a past and I've got layers, you've got to unpeel me. So it's like, what, you got to get someone who can kind of bring something that maybe you aren't expecting. It's like, as much as I would love Sean William Scott, I'm thinking party animal, you know, D-bag or something like that in a loving way. And so,
wait, hang on, quick question. Have you seen Goon?
I haven't seen Goon.
You gotta watch Goon. Yeah. Goon is fantastic.
Heard it was very good. And so I don't know, I'm a little bit torn on who it needs to be. You know, I think I jokingly threw out the 10 different Bombays, but I think you can do that and then do like a Bachelor style show with it where you pick the best one. I don't know. Yeah. You could have a lot of fun with it. But in reality, it's going to be one person. And I think the other question is like, would they open up and like maybe have like a female coach? And maybe that's kind of like where they go with it. Obviously, you wouldn't have a love interest with Lauren Graham, I wouldn't imagine. But who knows? So I don't know. It's very tough to just kind of say this is who would be good, because I'm just thinking of like people I've liked in other roles, but I'm just thinking of that role or what they're kind of like. And so, do I want a hard ass coach? Do I want a goofy coach? Do I want like a coach who's just going to get us to the end of the season until like something else happens? I don't know. Like, are we looking for someone to be the new face of the Ducks? Are we looking for someone who's more in the background as we kind of go deeper into the kids' stories?
That is a really interesting point. And I also am wondering, like, how appealing is this for somebody to jump into a role that was clearly like Bombay's role and to follow that? So I don't know if we're going to get somebody big. I do, now that you mentioned, I do think it might be more of like a supporting role where, you know, it just pushes it forward for maybe a season or two. And then somebody else really steps in and takes that. So I, like I said before, I think I'm all in on just like try to get the Gilmore Girls crowd to just get that audience engaged in the show and keep the numbers up to, you know, give you a season three, season four as you transition away from it maybe then. So that's my pick. I like Stevie Yang's Scott Patterson.
So I think my ideal pick, and I don't think this is necessarily as realistic, is season three, you hand over the Ducks back to Coach T. But we don't know, you know, that he wants to keep doing it, et cetera. Again, he was supposed to just be like a cameo or whatever in the first season. So if you have like a huge, like douchebag coach, and then it's kind of like Coach T has some like inner, you know, battles with himself, and he is in position to take back over the Ducks after he learns a lesson. So maybe you can get like a hard ass who's just gonna like ride the kids the entire time, and eventually Coach T kind of steps up to the plate for season three. Or, and I don't know, who is that hard ass? Is it like a Sean William Scott who's just like, I'm doing this for one season, I'm gonna have so much fun doing it, yelling at these kids, and then give it to someone else? But I don't know, I'm very, very excited, and I guess a little nervous to see where it's gonna go. You know, I guess the clock's ticking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I do like the idea of the Coach T redemption that you mentioned, where, you know, season two, that comes around near the end, he takes over. I would willingly accept that, get Coach T involved in our lives for the foreseeable future and go from there.
Or maybe we get Miss McKay to be the new coach.
Ooh.
She developed the coaching bug over in her half a period of coaching in the Goodwill games, and now she's back.
I do like that as well. That's very good.
What is she up to these days?
Catherine Irby, I believe. But I think she's still around, or she's, I don't know how much like mainstream acting she's doing, but I'm sure she'd be game. But let's let's move on. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I wanted to test this. So I started thinking of stuff for, you know, 2022. I think Chicken Wing Challenge and Trivia Challenge are probably the two biggest things. We've talked about the Chicken Wing Challenge. We were trying to go big with it. And then, you know, COVID, Omicron variant, all kind of, who knows what's going to happen here. So we might have to not go very big with it again. So, but I still want to see how many chicken wings Kevin can eat. As he says, he's training every day for it. And I want another trivia contest because we have a bunch of trivia now. We have a whole, we have what, 5 hours of extra show for trivia. So I'm going through Game Changers right now with a very close watch, sort of getting some ideas. I think I'll need to watch it again to really get some trivia, but I do think there is something, there's something here with this idea. So the basic idea is we have a character from the Mighty Ducks. It can be original trilogy or it can be from Game Changers. And one person has to guess who the other person is thinking of or who the hosts are thinking of. And, you know, they have 30 seconds and they can ask, you know, yes or no questions, essentially, to go through it. So I'm willing to go first. Is that Kevin or Tommy, you look confused.
So yeah, I'm a little confused on the rules.
So you think of just a random person and then we ask yes or no questions in 30 seconds to get the person?
Yes, to guess who that person is. So one of you think of a person and, you know, text it to the other person. I'll go first. I'll be on the clock first. And I'll sort of demonstrate how this goes. Random character from Mighty Ducks or Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Let me know when you have the person. Obviously, you don't want like the extra in the background of scene two, but you also, you know, it could be anybody from Bombay to, I don't know, Sophie's dad or something like that.
I think someone had to have a speaking role.
There you go. I like this. I like this. Speaking role.
All right. We're ready.
We're ready. All right. All right.
I'll start the timer.
All right. Let me know when you start it.
Right. And they're yes or no questions, correct?
Correct.
And so after 30 seconds, Mike just gets one guess.
Right.
All right. Starting 3, 2, 1.
Did they appear in the original trilogy?
Yes.
Are they on the Mighty Ducks?
No.
Are they an adult?
Yes.
Are they a coach?
No.
Are they a woman? Is it a woman?
Yes.
Is it Casey Conway?
No.
Woman, is she in D2?
Yes.
Is it Michelle McKay?
No.
D2. Is it the reporter from
30 seconds are up. We need your last guess. And I think what you need to do, Mike, go ahead. Let's hear your guess.
Woman. Oh, Maria, the Iceland trainer.
Yes.
Okay. So I think what you need to do is you only get one guess.
Oh, okay.
And so, you, like, instead of being like, "Oh, is this someone's mom?" Instead of saying, "Is it Casey Conway?" So you get one.
Once you make your guess, you're done.
Okay. Yeah. Because okay. You kind of rattled off a few guesses there at the end, and you know, it was in the 30 seconds. Don't get me wrong, but I think that makes it more fun. You got to get down, and then you, because I'd like to hear like your thought process at the end.
All right. Fair enough. I do like that. And the Quack Lights give notes. This is why I wanted to test it here early on. But do we want to play again? Do we want to play again with the new rules? Or do you want to go to the Quack question?
We'll do one more round.
All right.
Okay. I can think of someone, okay. Kevin, if you want to do guessing. Give me a second. All right. I've got someone.
All right. 30 seconds. Kevin, your 30 seconds starts now.
Did they appear in the original trilogy?
Yes.
Are they a kid?
Yes.
Are they a male?
Yes.
are they a duck?
No.
10 seconds.
Are they a hawk?
Yes.
Are they Irish? Or do they have an Irish name?
Yes.
30 seconds is up.
McGill.
Yes, very good.
Well done. But that is the basic idea of the game. I want the Quack Lights. Let us know if you like it, how you would alter it, and that will be a round in the upcoming.
We could definitely make this into a drinking game too. So keep that in mind.
Yeah,
we and Mike put in the show notes the link to our. We made a Mighty Ducks drinking
game,
did.
Didn't we? Yes. Yes, it's very.
We got to make one for Game Changers now. We got to revisit it.
That's true. We do need to revisit it for Game Changers. You will get very drunk. We have a lot of rules.
Sponsor it.
We have one where you like put a dollar on the floor, and then you don't tell anybody, and the first person to pick it up has to finish their drink and things like that. So it's very good. I will put it in the show notes. But let's move on to the Quack question. We do ask us questions on Facebook, through Twitter, through Discord. We pick the best ones, try to answer them. Kevin, what is the Quack question today?
I guess we'll go email today. This one comes from Tyler via email. Tyler's fairly long questions are, I was watching D3 recently, and two big things stood out to me that I hadn't noticed before. Number one, on three different occasions that we see, Charlie is skating backwards on defense one-on-one against the puck handler. I understand Orion has a massive focus on defense, but what kind of formation is he running in the offensive zone that makes the center being the last line of defense to prevent a breakaway? And number two, in the first unofficial JV varsity showdown, one of the varsity players taunts Goldberg before scoring by saying, "Quack, quack, quack, Mr. Goalie Boy," but he says it with some sort of European accent. Between that, Scooter looking suspiciously similar to Gunnar Stahl, and the fact that all the players from Iceland's golden age just suddenly disappeared after the Goodwill Games, is it possible that Eden Hall brought in the entire Iceland team to be their varsity team using false identities? Love that question.
All right, two for one here. So the first question, yeah, why is Charlie back? He's a center. Why is Charlie back? I think the only way it would work is if the defenseman sort of pinched down and Charlie was back checking to come back, but it wouldn't make sense why he was like so far back as they were coming up on him. I don't know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, is there a possibility that he changed Charlie's position? Cause he does change some positions in the original roster.
That's kind of was my thought. It is like, oh, I play on the left, not the right. You know, they kind of say that. And I think it looked good. Like, hey, go play defense, you know, Mr. Scorer Boy.
Yeah.
With his European accent.
Yeah. That is a good point to try to sort of teach Charlie a lesson.
And teach him some humility too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point. So maybe he switched it. My other point was going to be maybe they were just wildly out of position and not listening to Orion at all. If there was but I do like, yeah. It was probably Orion saying, hey, you gotta play defense because we play two-way hockey here. The second question is very interesting because, yeah, I mean, you don't hear about Sanderson coming up in juniors. We never hear from Sanderson or Uber Havik or Gunnar Stahl in D3 at all. So Scooter comes in. I don't know why you would put Gunnar Stahl at goalie though. That's the one question. I think our thing was like he needed to change his position to avoid the wrath of Wolf Stanson, because we have talked about Scooter being in witness protection program from Stanson. I mean, we don't see the full varsity, so maybe they snuck a few more Iceland in, but I don't know if they would stick the whole team in one spot. I feel like that's a liability.
I wouldn't surprise me if Eden Hall is like recruiting internationally and it's like known as like a hockey factory and like some European players who might have the means could like go play there. And, you know, Eden Hall is probably like they're scouting like the Goodwill Games, I'm sure. So maybe there are some, you know, Icelandic players on there.
Yeah.
The only question I would have with that, like, is in college hockey, are there typically very many international players? Because I would assume that most of them just go to juniors, no?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. Typically what happens is, you know, kid's good. he goes maybe to play juniors in the States and then gets seen by a college and then plays. So I know when I was at Michigan, we had a player, Carl Hagelund. He was from Sweden. So yeah, I mean, you see a decent spattering of internationals coming over and playing college hockey.
So I just randomly looked up, you know, University of Denver's hockey roster. And number three, Antti Tuomisto from Finland. So they have a guy from Finland and a guy from Sweden. And they also have a lot of Canadians, which I don't think like we can necessarily say like count as, you know, this exercise.
Yeah.
But the Swedish guy is named Magnus Krona.
Great name.
Yeah. Solid. Solid. Maybe he'll be the official college hockey player of the Quack Attack podcast. We'll have to get in contact.
Oh, yeah. We should get one of these guys. We could sponsor them. NLI.
Oh, that's a great.
That'll like be a 2022 goal. We're going to sponsor a college hockey player.
That is a great idea. This is definitely happening in 2022. So Chicken Wing Challenge, sponsoring a player. If you have any suggestions on who we should sponsor, please let us know.
And obviously we would need to make sure we're following all the rules there. Yes. So
does our man Bo have a younger brother?
Oh, I don't know. I know he has brothers. I don't know what age they are, if they're playing college hockey or whatnot. But this, I am excited about this. I totally did not think about the connection. Now that college players can make money off their name, image, and likeness, we could officially sponsor a college hockey player. So if you have any suggestions, please let us know. But Chicken Wing Challenge, sponsoring a college hockey player, and then Trivia Challenge. It's going to be a busy 2022.
So I know Mike's about to sign off, but after we do our sign off, for anyone who wants to listen to a hypothetical question that I'm going to pose to Mike and Kevin that has nothing to do with the Mighty Ducks, feel free to stay on. I was thinking about this last night, and I just want their opinion.
Okay. So for us, thequackattack.com, go there, contact us at quackattackpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quackattackpod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Tell us what you think of the guess the player in 30 seconds format and any suggestions you have. And remember, Ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
The Quack Attack is back, Jack. Ooh, yeah.
All right. Bonus question time.
So here's a bonus question. So I'll set the scene. So last night had a kickball game. We lost, unfortunately. It's questionable calls. But afterwards, you know, we went to Applebee's to drink because it was down the street.
Amazing.
And so we got to talking, and the question is, would you rather get a lifetime of free Applebee's? You can eat there, you and a guest, for free anytime you want. And this is assumes Applebee's always stays in business. Or $25,000 cash. You get no strings attached. Which would you take? And at Applebee's, once a month, you get to throw a party for all your friends.
I like the party aspect, but it's for life.
I'd do Applebee's. I'd take the Applebee's.
Really? Yeah, I would take the money. I think I wouldn't want to worry about having to go to Applebee's to like make it worth at least $25,000 in my life. Like, I feel like the stress of being like, can you do
takeout?
Oh, yes, you get like, you now obviously you can't be like keep doing takeout like for like all your friends, not stuff. Like, there'd be like gentlemen's rules with this associated. But like you and a guest dining in, whatever you want.
We'd have to figure out like what is the monthly limit? Because then you'd have to figure out how long it would take you to hit $25,000 worth of
food. So, and this is something we were talking about, is basically if you spend $150 a week on groceries, that's about $8,000 a year. Okay. And $150 a week is kind of high. But let's say that also includes like going out, spending $50 at the bar every other week. I don't know. But so if you're spending $8,000 a year on food and drinks, then obviously you're looking at like 4 years, four and a quarter years to, or three and a quarter, sorry. to reaching your $25,000. So it could be worth it pretty quickly.
I feel like I could, like, if I had that perk, I think I would go out of my way and spend $500 a month to have them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
include like alcohol and stuff like that?
Yes. And okay. So like, yeah. Obviously,
I mean, we would become regulars at Applebee's.
Yeah. Every outing would just be at Applebee's and Kevin would be paying or whoever had the deal.
Yeah. But it's like, it would definitely have to be like if the three of us went to Applebee's, it'd be like Mike and Kevin are eating for free today or whatever. But I think obviously there's a whole, like, can you share things? But like, if the three of us went out and like Kevin got appetizers, like the appetizers would be free if he is eating at least like a percentage of however many people are there. So if there's three of us, he needs to eat 33% of the appetizer for it to be free.
Interesting. So you would have refs monitoring Kevin's.
I was going to say, who's the poor schmuck that has to watch all this?
Yeah, I would say it's very much like an honor system, but we would keep each other honest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin, like if it was your thing and you got it, you could get like, I'm going to get a steak to go and go home and eat it.
Another reason I'd take Applebee's, because it would always beat inflation.
That's true. We don't know how much Applebee's is going to be in 20 years. It might be $1.50 margaritas instead of dollar margaritas.
True that.
Yeah. I mean, the alcohol is interesting, but if you can't just buy drinks for other people, I feel like I would just take the money. Cause like I said, I would not want the stress of being like, oh, I have to eat at Applebee's to make up my $25,000. So I'm taking the money.
You know, if you have multiple kids, Mike, you take them to Applebee's and they just eat for free nonstop. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my family eats for free.
Yeah. Well, should it be like immediate family and one non-family member, maybe? Would that sweeten the deal? I mean, your wife would fucking hate Applebee's after about 3 weeks.
That's the problem. She would not want to go to Applebee's all the time.
I don't know. If it's free all the time. And also, let's say it's
big enough menu that you can hop around it quite a bit.
I would still take the money. That's just me, though.
What if it was $10,000?
Oh, good question.
I think $10,000 is a no-brainer for Applebee's.
For life.
For life.
And this is assuming we have Applebee's nearby at all times, like near our house.
Walking distance.
If it's walking distance, I think Applebee's.
I mean, I think this is easy. Like, even if it's $25,000, like, all you'd have to do is spend $1,000 at Applebee's every year for 25 years to make it worth it. And probably even less than that because of inflation. Like,
that's going from zero to $1,000 though. Like, that's a big jump for me. I don't know if it's the last time I went to Applebee's and like
that. I mean, that could be like 10 trips to Applebee's.
Yeah.
Like every year.
That's fair. That's
or
fair.
Eight or however that would work out.
I'm coming around to the Applebee's. If it's walking distance, I take Applebee's. For 25.
I'm going to Google the closest Applebee's to you.
I'm going to, let's look it up.
They're probably like three within 2 miles of you or something.
I don't think so. I feel like it's at least 5 miles.
Yeah, I think the closest Applebee's to me is like 15 minutes, but it's really close to where we played kickball, so.
Surprisingly, not a lot of Applebee's in Dallas. I feel like there were like six in my hometown of like less than 100,000 people, and there are two in Dallas.
Let's take South Road.
Okay. Right. Applebee's is 3.4 miles away. 10 minutes. Not bad. It's a 10-minute drive, though.
10 minutes, and it's like you can get obviously, you're not going to be wanting to get like, you know, the triple appetizer every time. You can get salads and stuff.
Also, though, like, I do a fair bit of traveling. That would come in handy traveling also.
Yeah.
Airports.
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean, traveling pick airports that have good. Applebee's?
Traveling would be good. I don't know. It'd be, so it would be, if I went to Applebee's, if I spent $1,000 at Applebee's a month, that's $12,000 a year. So 2 years, it would really be, $1,000 a month, though, is a lot.
I was saying $1,000 a year for 25 years.
Oh, yeah, you're just going once a month and having like
you
and a guest are going hard.
Okay. Or you could do $500 a year for 50 years, whatever.
So $1,000 a year for 25 years, So I'm 50. Okay. Yeah. It would make sense. I would just have to go out of my way to go to Applebee's, which I could work in, but it's not, let's say, something I would want to do.
If you spent $35 a day at Applebee's Monday through Friday for a year, you're looking at $9,000. Mm. And so if you just committed to eating lunch and dinner there every weekday. Wow, Applebee's.
Double lunch, yeah. The lunch every day might get me.
I mean,
wait, Tommy, what was your answer? That Applebee's?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, as somebody who's a chicken finger connoisseur, I mean, you would crush that.
And the good thing is also Applebee's will probably be changing up his menu every like 6 months, right?
I mean,
it's not just going to be like, this is all they're ever going to have, you know, because they have like different drinks for like different holidays, things like that.
But it's the same core menu. Like, when's the last time Applebee's really changed their entire menu?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know what Applebee's has on its menu. It's like whatever Chili's and Fridays has, that's what Applebee's has.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have the blondie. Do they sell the blondie? Because that thing is awesome.
What is the blondie?
It's the dessert. It's a blondie brownie.
Oh, okay.
That has ice cream and amazing like walnut sauce or something. It's interesting. Fantastic.
I don't see it on here.
That would be a shame if they don't have that anymore, because it was so good.
They might have a smaller menu now because of COVID and everything. But they've got a blue ribbon brownie, which is like ice cream and I guess this brownie cake. They've got the brownie bite, which is a smaller version, and the triple chocolate meltdown.
So, but the part, we get one party a month, you said, Tommy, there?
One party. They close it down for you and all your friends, whatever you guys want.
A month like, or...
open to close once a month.
I feel like you could crush that 25k with that.
Yeah, I think the party is the key here. The party is the key. Like, my birthday is at Applebee's every year. My kids' birthdays are at Applebee's every year. And like, that's where we do it. If I can have the party, I
you know, Tommy's Applebee's. Birthday is next weekend.
Should we go to Applebee's? I wonder how much it costs to rent an Applebee's. Probably a lot. We're not going to do that. They've good got question, seafood. Though. They've got burgers, sandwiches.
Good question. I think
that's it. That's all they have, burgers. Yeah.
I think between the party and like the possibility of like running out and getting a lunch at Applebee's, I would take the Applebee's. But I've really come around. I initially was all on the 25,000. Good question. If anyone's still listening, let us know your thoughts. Put it in the off-topic Discord channel or something, and we can really get this discussion going. But good question, Tommy.
Thank you. Yeah, I was struggling with like the amount of money, because at first I went way too high because it was like, no. But I think 25K, you really have to think about it.
Yeah.
Like 25K, that could really help out a lot of people right now. But I don't know, free Applebee's for life. You never have to pay for groceries again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
if you ever lose your job or anything, like, you're fine. Like, you know, at least as far as food goes.
Maybe you could also live in the Applebee's.
Yeah. There you go.
The counter is the people are going to say, you just take the 25, put it in like a index fund or something, and just let it gain interest. And then you'll never be able to catch up.
Well, think about, there's also a time factor. Think about times you go to the grocery store, times you're like spending like, oh, where are we going to go eat? Or we got to drive to this place, or, you know what you're getting for lunch and dinner every single day. Boom. Just go get it.
Like, I don't think you'd go every day though. I think you'd still have to make it a semi irregular sort of treat to go to Applebee's, because you'd be burnt out on Applebee's very early. Like, you'd want to space this out a little bit. Like, maybe the first week you go every day, but then after that, you're going to lose steam.
I think if you can get guaranteed, like, you have a table, you get there, and as soon as you, like, you order and they bring it in 10, 15 minutes, like, every time. Like, none of this, like, waiting around for your server bullshit. Like, I don't know, because that's another the convenience thing. Or you're calling it in. Like, hey, I'm just going to get my mozzarella sticks and chicken tenders and come home.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the variety of food. Like, I don't think you would want Applebee's all the time.
I mean, I think like a Caesar salad's a Caesar salad anywhere, right?
Right.
And so like if you always eat that for lunch, if you always eat a salad for lunch, or if you That's always true. Eat like a sandwich for lunch, like you can get the chicken fajita roll up at Applebee's every day.
Yeah.
I do know you would definitely get burnt out. Like, don't get me wrong. But I don't know. It's free.
Yeah. Like I said, the party aspect is what gets me. But like to Kevin's point about $1,000 a year at Applebee's, 25 years. Or you take the 25K, average what? What do you average in the market? Like 7% over a year?
Assuming so, yeah.
So like that becomes an interesting equation then. We need, is anybody
assuming exactly 7% every year, which obviously would not be the case. You would, if you did nothing with that $25,000 and just had it in a fund, that would be worth $135,000. That's assuming every
in 25
single,
years?
In 25 years. Assuming every single year was 7%.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking average. Like, you're going to lose some, but maybe you go over 7% some year. So, so that is the interesting question. So, $135,000 over 25 years. Will you eat $135,000 over 25 years? With the party, yes. Without the party is a more interesting question.
I think you have to have the party.
Yeah, the party.
Tommy just wants to have an Applebee's party.
This was my way of being like, hey, we're having my birthday at Applebee's. So you guys are like, yes, I've heard a lot about Applebee's recently.
All right. I've talked enough about Applebee's.
Screw, I'm starving. I got to go. All
right. Do you guys want to go to Applebee's?
Yeah, Mike's paying.
All right. If anyone's still listening, let us know your thoughts.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye. See ya.